please listen carefully.
Hello, universe. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Summers McKay.
And I'm Christy Jansen, and we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, at least this week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And while you have missed us terribly these last few days, and actually, Christy, I had like a couple listeners say they did miss us, but anyway, sidetrack. We are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, happy July, everybody-worthy podcast. Today is, in fact, Monday, July 6th, 2020.
Wow.
So we were off for a few days. You guys probably noticed or didn't notice, but I certainly noticed. I found that my days were seemingly less structured, Christy, because we didn't start out doing this every morning. While it was a very nice break, I really missed it.
I did too, Summers, and I think that you're right. Because I didn't have this launch of my day, I was a little bit more unfocused with other parts of my day. So, hey, we just have to keep meeting every single morning and catching up with each other, doing this update, you know, the Optimist Daily, and then we can go on with our day.
Forever. So really, listeners, this has nothing to do with you. This is just about me and Christy. But I will say the very discipline of knowing that I had to click on that today's solutions button on the optimistdaily.com in the morning and be prepared to have a conversation with you this morning, even though it was Super Monday, I found myself soothed and I found myself less stressed. I did, however, come to a realization that there is another app that I have to take off my phone because it's an inflammatory headline app. It's the Weather Channel. I don't know how it's possible that the Weather Channel is headline bait, but it is. Everything is breaking news. And I know that climate is a huge part of the journey in our world today, but I did not think the Weather Channel would be inflammatory. But today, the headlines on the Weather Channel made me sad. So the Weather Channel must go.
Wow. Well, Summers, this is a perfect time for me to plug the climate anxiety webinar that I'm working on with some members of our team that we're doing in conjunction with the World Business Academy and Psych Alive. And we're going to start promoting that this week. That'll be August 7th, the first one. We'll do another one in October. But yeah, so that's the kind of thing that inflammatory headline and getting disconnected from your sense of having any kind of control and how it can lead to anxiety and depression and a sense of helplessness and hopelessness. That's what this climate anxiety webinar is intended to address.
What is so funny, folks, is that I literally did not do that intentionally to queue up the perfect promo. Have you ever noticed, Christy, that it sounds like we're super scripted, but we're actually just super in touch with one another? It's crazy sync.
Sometimes I feel more articulate and more like we're bouncing off each other in a positive way. Sometimes I feel like it spins out of control. You know, even though it's Monday, maybe that break was really something we needed. That was our mental health reset for
exactly.
We took 5 days off or 4 days off from the recording, and it was good.
Before we get to today's solutions, what's new with you? How was your weekend? Anything to report from the holiday?
No, it was a very quiet 4th of July. We didn't do anything. Normally, I would be attending a huge barbecue with my friends and extended family. We did not do that. We made taquitos at home. That's what we did. The fireworks, normally I can watch them out of my upstairs window because there's a firework installation out in Goleta that they do every year, which they didn't do this year. We did hear a bunch of private fireworks going off in our neighborhood, but we did not participate in any of those. So it was a very quiet, slowed down kind of 4th of July. I read a lot. I read about the Declaration of Independence. I read about some interesting things about the inclusivity that's written in there, which we don't always focus on. That was what I did. I connected with my immediate family and with some of my extended family in physically distant kinds of modalities.
I love it. Well, we also had a quiet 4th of July. I think that was the way to go. Our neighborhood, as I mentioned at the beginning of last week, I was very concerned about them not closing down the beaches, which they did, in fact, close down. So our neighborhood remained quiet and remained safe. On the 4th of July, as I tucked Brennan in bed, as you noted, private fireworks, we were sort of less generous calling them the illegal fireworks, but the private and illegal fireworks displays began in my neighborhood, and there were copious amounts. It went on for hours. But what I did was I just tucked in with the baby, who was a little startled by it all, but I tucked in with her and put on the ceiling fan and ran it on high and a window fan to white noise drown it out. And I curled up and I watched Hamilton, which I think was one of those collective shared experiences that millions of people did this weekend. My family and I had tickets to see Hamilton June 28th. Obviously, we did not go, but being able to watch it on Disney Plus was really special. And it was so moving. And like you, kind of digging into our American history and realizing what our countries were founded on and the inclusiveness and the way that we are a country of immigrants really, really touched me. I found myself just crying more than I'd ever cried, at least since the day I met Brennan. It was kind of a faucet of emotions. It was really, really nice to be able to do that.
I'd like to watch that this week. We didn't have a chance to this weekend, but that is a really evocative play, the performance. I would like to see the original cast members. I did have a chance to see it in 2018. I feel lucky about that. And my son, actually in his school production, he was part of that play. So I got to see a kid version of it too.
Which, oh, wow.
That was a couple of years ago. He played the role of Hamilton.
That's remarkable. I didn't realize that schools were doing it as well. Well, if you guys haven't watched Hamilton and you have a chance to, it's worth it. Yeah. I, of course, had to watch it with subtitles because the volume had to be low enough not to wake the baby. But I actually think watching it with subtitles was helpful because the language is so fast and the lyrics go so quickly. But it is just beautiful. And I will say that I watched part of it again last night as I was putting Brennan to bed again. So.
Well, she probably is going to like the soundtrack once you start playing it for her.
Yeah, for sure. She's a musical little soul. Let's talk about today's solutions. As I mentioned, reading The Optimist Daily this morning felt really good. Chrissy, what felt good to you about The Optimist Daily?
Well, there's a lot of really interesting articles, I thought, and it was hard to decide what I wanted to highlight. But the one I chose, the headline is, why this startup is giving renters a financial stake in their apartments. And this is in the finance section of the Optimist Daily. And I thought this was a really, really great discussion, a great solution, because it sort of goes to the origins of inequality and the way that inequality gets passed down through generations, even. Most Americans, a lot of their wealth is actually held in their homes. And if you are a homeowner, you just accumulate wealth as the property values go up. Also, instead of paying rent, you're paying a mortgage, which means you're building your own equity. But renters, because they don't have the beginning capital to put a down payment, perhaps, or they don't want to invest in living in one place because they're young, you know, for whatever reason, they don't get the benefits of accumulating wealth. That's just a real big issue. And more Americans are becoming just renters, and it's impacting the income and wealth disparities in our country. And so this is a really interesting article about a startup called Rove, and that's R-H-O-V-E. Mm-hmm. And what they are offering, they have a complex in Columbus, Ohio. What they're offering is the renters who rent from this building can also get a financial stake in the building itself. And the property has partnered with Rove. It's a social impact enterprise, and it's designed specifically to help shrink the wealth gap between renters and homeowners by offering something they're calling rentership, which is an asset that grows along with the value of that property. Calvin Cooper is the founder of that. Interesting, smart guy. There's some good quotes in here about him, but he points out that the average young person today is going to spend over $200,000 in their lifetime in rent. If you had put all that money towards building equity in a home instead of paying rent, that's a difference. That's a tremendous difference. As you get older, Americans who are over 65 who own homes have a median net wealth that's 47 times greater than those who rent homes at the age of 65. So that's a tremendous disparity. And that is something we really do need to address in our country. And I like this solution because it's an innovative way of reimagining the relationship between renters and property owners, and also the communities. Reimagining renters as stakeholders can help build stronger communities. Yeah. I know as a property owner now and as a former renter, now when something breaks in my house, we fix it immediately. Before, as a renter, I wasn't going to invest any time in updating the bathroom faucets, for example, you know, even if they're leaking.
I think it's really an interesting solution, because certainly the average young person at $200,000 over their lifetime, for those of us in California, that's an incredibly low number. I know that just in the last about 7 years of my family's rent, we've covered that. And it is kind of shocking, because we find ourselves now, you know, we miss the window, right? I miss the starter home window because my life moved in different ways. I never got that starter home. And now I have a family of five and we need somewhere to live. There's just no way we can have our first home because we haven't spent the years building equity. Mm-hmm. So we are a bit stuck in the sense that certainly there is absolutely no salary that gives you an extra 20% down payment for, you know, $1 million house in California. So I really like this solution because as a middle-aged person myself in a family of five, so I need at least 3 bedrooms, if not 4, definitely 4. Right now we're 3-bedroom, but that this could actually create a runway for opportunity for those folks who do not have a path toward home ownership or mm-hmm. toward having equity. And I think, you know, Christy, a lot of people who are renters do take good care of their properties and the places that they live. I know that, you know, we've hired a gardener and we care for the home. And, you know, if something's broken, we do fix it. And we work with our landlords because we have a very good relationship with them. But at this point, our landlords are ready to sell the home and we are kind of out of luck. This story, I think, is really valuable because we have to re-envision this relationship and we have to re-envision how people can have security in their living situations and growth opportunity for their financial situations.
Yeah. And one of the things that the founder of this company pointed out, that if something similar to this rentership program had been in place back in 2007, 2006, 2008, and moving forward over this last decade, then people who are struggling now would be in a very different position than they are today. I know I've been a renter. It was up until 5 years ago when I was able to actually afford to purchase my first home. But it's a tremendous thing. And you don't have any control over people. Every year, the rent goes up, especially here in California. Rents are just accelerating. And if you're, as you, in your situation, you have a great relationship with your property owner, but they're selling the house now. And so what are you going to do? You have to now find a new place. And so you don't have the security there.
We had hoped at the outset of our relationship with them, they might be willing to have a lease with option to buy. So we would have perhaps additional rent payment or two a year so that we could sort of start building equity into potentially owning our home. But that just wasn't something that was widely accepted or understood. It was not something that they were comfortable with. And so, 6 years later, we're, you know, $200,000 out with no equity and a lovely experience and a lovely home that we've enjoyed, but on to the next. And I think that re-envisioning relationships where you could start the path of ownership, where you could do leases with options, where like this rentership model, there are other solutions towards this.
Yeah. So anyway, I think this is a great story for that reason. I'm very interested to track other solutions to deal with the renter owner disparities in our country.
Thank you for picking that. I guess that's probably our focus for today because we've gone on a bit on it, but I'll just touch on the story that I found to be really valuable. You know, I love the large scale businesses that are making commitments to evolving how they do business and reducing their impact on climate and on our biosphere. There's an article that reads about Pandora aiming to reach 100% recycled silver and gold by 2025. So Pandora is actually the world's largest jewelry brand by volume. And one of those great big businesses, I'm sure you've seen the advertisements. Currently, 71% of their silver and gold does in fact come from recycled sources, but they have committed to closing that 29% gap by 2025. That's really aggressive. That's, you know, 4 years at this point, 4.5 years. And the way it's going to do it is by engaging with their supply chain, working across all of their different vendors, creating financially viable opportunities for recycling, as well as looking at other tools or other places to recycle from, including electronic waste. I love things that sparkle. I love jewelry. So as Christy knows, I have a local artisan on my vision board, a woman named Jess Mahari, who has this beautiful rose gold ring that is recycled. And I would love to own that someday. I'm a big fan of recycled jewelry. And I just think that it's really important to remember that the things that sparkle don't have to be new and shiny. They can be vintage and reused and upcycled. And I'm really impressed with Pandora for making this commitment. So yeah, that's my pick for the day, something shiny and pretty.
That's really nice, Summer. So just because it's vintage or made from recycle doesn't mean it's any less valuable or sparkly or shiny or all of those kind of things. The other thing I like about Pandora's commitment is it's not just in relation to the sourcing of their materials. It's also trying to lower their overall footprint. Yeah. So this is a great story. There's some other really wonderful solutions today. The other one that I almost talked about, which I didn't, is about kelp forests as the silent coastal community protectors we need.
I thought you were going to talk about repurposing their beer into fertilizers.
There's that too. There's something in relation to mental health, the difference between loneliness and being alone. That's an important lesson to think about. There's a story about a think tank that believes that the world could end poverty by 2030 if we put our heads together and do it properly. There's a virtual Tour de France that's going to allow female competitors for the first time, and that's pretty cool. There's a energy neutral Dutch school that's promoting sustainability by design. And Florida inmates who spent the 4th of July comforting dogs who would be really frightened by fireworks.
The last one on there today is, and actually this was our headline story, it was about robotic surgery helping to revolutionize healthcare. So we cover a lot on the Optimist Daily today, from health to puppies to environment to beer.
Yes, Summers, and thank you everybody for listening today to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, to offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And as always, please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com, and for just $5 a month, support reader-funded, independent journalism, be part of the solution, changing consciousness, and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Have a great Monday, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.